We all ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What happened to all the dinosaurs? What was the best thing before sliced bread? But some questions are more important than others. How do I forgive someone even when I feel like I can't? What's my purpose in life? How can I be the parent God wants me to be and the one my kids need me to be? So where do we turn? To the one that has all the answers. We'll tackle some of life's most complex issues and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
Good morning, and welcome to part two of our series, You Asked For It. And let me just clarify, I was listening to that little bumper video that we do before the message. When it says we're going to turn to one that has all the answers, that's not me, okay? just clarifying there. God has all the answers, and I believe His Word has the answers for us, and that's what we're turning to. This series is actually based on a survey that we did back at Easter. Those of you that happen to be here on Easter Sunday, if you'll remember, we did a survey, and we simply asked the question, if there is a topic, a message that you would like to hear, would you share that with us? And so we promised to build a series based on your responses, and that's exactly what we have done. And some would say, well, now, Pastor, I thought you were supposed to pray, hear directly from God, and preach exactly what He tells you to preach. And I try to do that. I try to get the will of God. Even in this series, I'm doing that. But I tell you, if you really look at Scripture, there honestly were times where the disciples would set the topic, and Jesus would then speak on it. You know, they would ask Him, they said, how do you pray? And he would teach them, how do you pray? And Jesus, we tried to heal this person and we couldn't. Why couldn't we? And then He would explain and teach them and talk to them about faith and prayer and fasting. And so there were many times where the disciples would set the topic and Jesus would then deliver a message on what their questions were. And so that's what we're doing in this series. Again, it's titled, You Asked For It. So if you don't like it, I'm going to say, hey, you asked for it. So last week was a great time that we spent talking about change. Many of you want to know, how do I change? How is change possible? We looked at that. And this week we have the topic that came up from the survey, and that is the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I can't think of a more powerful topic than that of forgiveness, because I think so many of us, and obviously because of the survey we found that to be true, deal with this area of forgiveness. Interesting thing about that is that topic came up on Easter Sunday, but we had just did a series at Christmas. If you remember last year, we entitled White Christmas, and it was all about forgiveness. It wasn't about the snow on the ground, but it was actually about the fact that when we experience God's forgiveness, it creates for us a clean heart as the white-driven snow in our heart, and God just creates a new thing within us. And so we talked about forgiveness. You might want to go back and look at some of that if you have time from those past series. But I just want to try to really emphasize and even pull from that series and just really focus in on something that I think is crucial, a key element, I believe, in helping us to know how to forgive. And I think here's what we're really asking. You know, I think if we're asking about forgiveness, it may be that we're asking this question, and that is that, how do I get past the pain? How do I stop hurting? You know, because a lot of us would like to say, well, just get that person out of my life. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to move to a different place. I'm going to relocate. I'm going to change things. But yet, that's not really how forgiveness works, because you can carry forgiveness from place to place. As pastor, I happen to know that when people have experienced pain at another church, and they've had a bad experience, they come in here, and guess what comes with them? Baggage. And then that baggage, after a while, after we get through, I and that person gets through the honeymoon stage. That's that stage where they think the pastor and the church is the best thing since sliced bread. After a while, if that forgiveness issue has not been dealt with, guess what? All those issues gets transferred, and guess what? I did exactly what that last pastor did. Y'all, I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth. And why is that? It's because the issue is not really that other person, that situation. And I know many of you might immediately say, oh, but yes, it is. You don't know what they did to me. But I'm just going to ask you for this, and that is to keep an open heart this morning and try not to filter things through your own mind. but rather allow the power of God's Word to be your filter, because I believe God has a truth that if we can open our hearts and receive this into our lives, I believe it will change us, and I believe we'll experience what really you asked for, and that is, how do I get rid of this pain? How do I get rid of this hurt? How do I get rid of the nightmares? So I want to begin by us tapping into an emotion, and that emotion really is this emotion that sometimes we come up with this phrase in trying to deal with unforgiveness in our heart. We simply get to this emotion where we say, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care what they do. I don't care what he said. I don't care. I'm through. And the fact of the matter is, the fact that you actually said, I don't care, really is a red flag that you do. And the thing is, you do care because we were made to care. God created us to care. We have a conscience. We have a heart. We have feelings. We have emotions, and we do care. And this thing of I don't care anymore, it really is a lie. It's a lie. And it's a remedy that we try that doesn't work. We think, well, I'm going to distance myself from those people. I'm going to remove myself from those people or from my life, but the pain is still there, and that's why you ask for it, because the pain is still there and the unforgiveness is still there. And I just want to present to you today that there is a better way. I believe that this way actually works, and at first when you hear this you may give some pushback. You know, when we oftentimes hear God say, this is what you need to do, sometimes our immediate response is, no, God, I can't do that. I can't go there. When in fact, there is a step that is missing oftentimes that is required for us to be able to go where God tells us to go and do what God tells us to do in a situation. And that is this little thing that's called faith. Faith. You see, we're talking about forgiveness, but faith is required in the process of forgiveness. And that what that means is that what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, I believe what God's Word requires us to do, is to step into something that really doesn't even make sense. And you say, I can't do that. That doesn't make sense. You don't understand. I can't go there. I can't do that. But here's the thing. When you apply faith and you take that step anyway, you're going to find out after you step into that and through that thing, there is a miracle waiting on the other side of that you never would have discovered unless you had taken that step of faith. All right? So here's what I want us to look at, and that is I want us to begin by looking at a progression that gets us to this point of I don't care anymore. And I want to help us to find a better way than just get them out of my life, Pastor. There's a better way. And here's how the progression begins. First of all, we create a distance. And if you have message notes there in your worship guide, you can write that down. That's your first point. We create distance. Distance. In every conflict, whether it be between people or between groups of people or between nations, oftentimes, when there is an offense, there is created this distance. It happens with conflict. It also happens with neglect. It could be that the neglect could be between you and your wife. It could be between you and your kids or your family. It could be actually even between you and God. It's a thing of neglect where you said, well, I don't know how we got here. I don't know how this distance, I don't know how, why am I here and you're way over there. How did this happen? The fact of the matter is, oftentimes, it's because of neglect. Because relationships require us to maintain them, all right? They don't just maintain themselves, right? We understand relationships do not maintain themselves. We've got to maintain them. And oftentimes, it's just neglecting those relationships that oftentimes that distance is created, right? It's created there because we don't invest. We don't pay attention. We don't invest in each other enough. The husband isn't paying attention to his wife. You know, I have this funny phrase I say. My wife says, I don't listen to her, or something like that. What was it? And I've shared this with you before, and it's and you've probably heard this one, and that is that, you know, they say that the woman has the last word in any argument. The woman has the last word. And anything that the man says after that is just the beginning of another argument, right? Right? Okay, all right. And I really need you to laugh right there, because this message doesn't have that many laughs in it. So there's your laugh for the day. Enjoy it. Okay, that's it. And I'm serious, because it's kind of an intense message. And this is a challenging message today. But I want us to understand that this happens, first of all, with this. The second thing that we say happens is that there are walls that go up. And that's when we say, look, I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want this pain. So I'm going to build these walls to try to deal with that pain. And we think that's the solution, but it's really not. It's really not. We think, well, I'm just going to protect myself. I'm going to put a barrier there. I'm going to wall out people that could hurt me, and I'm just going to protect myself. But here's what happens. When you build up walls, you not only keep the bad people out, you keep the good people out too. If you're not careful, you even wall out God. You build this hard exterior that even God can't get through. And you become so protective that no one or no thing can touch you again. And that's a dangerous place to be. People think that those walls are for their good, but it's not. Third thing that happens is, after we build those walls, then there's this escalation that happens, and that's where the situation becomes bigger than the situation. And this is a tragic place. It's where, you know, the thing gets larger than it really is. It's where a pastor, when people come in and they tell the pastor what the conflict is, and you say, really? Really? You're arguing over that? But one small little thing becomes major, you know? The toilet lid up becomes a major thing. I'm just saying. The socks in the corner. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the toothpaste left off the toothpaste tube. It's squeezing it from the wrong end. He aggravates me. You know, I'm being facetious, but you'd be surprised, because here's what happens. Oftentimes when there's this fence and then there's these walls and then there's this escalation, it just gets larger and bigger. And that's the point, actually, where the tongue gets out of control. We say things we shouldn't say. Say things we really don't mean. And we begin to belittle the other person. And really, the belittling becomes a protective device that we use. But there's this escalation. And then this escalation leads to this fourth thing, and that is false belief. False belief. And this is where the enemy gets involved. This is where we begin imagining things that never really did happen. The devil gets involved, and our imagination goes crazy. And can I tell you, we just start reading into things that really aren't there. And here's what I would advise: if you hear of somebody that's going through something and they share something with you, don't believe everything that you hear. Because when people get hurt, they take these things to places where it never was to that scale. And I'm just saying, this is where the enemy gets in, and things just bog down in these lies, and the devil begins to whisper in your ear. And in fact, I believe it's one of Satan's greatest weapons is lies. It's the lie. It was a lie that got us in this mess, all this mess, from the very beginning, wasn't it? Satan came up and he mixed a little truth in there with a lie, and he totally destroyed mankind. And that's the enemy's tactic still today, is to come in. In fact, in John chapter 7, it's described that Satan's native language is lying. He comes and he says, well, you never loved him in the first place. This whole thing was a mistake from the very beginning. And you really never, and he begins to totally give you a distorted picture of the whole situation, and you begin to buy into these false beliefs of the other person and what the conflict really is really all about. It becomes something that really wasn't even in the very beginning. That's why when couples go in, and I've had this happen for me, couples go in, and, you know, here's the thing about counseling. When you counsel somebody, you're going to tell them something that they don't already know. And yet we really want to go into a counselor, and we want that counselor to agree with what we know. But the nature of it is, if he's going to tell you something you already know, you really don't need to go there. Does this make any sense? But people come in, but what happens is, when a person comes in and they're offended, they're in this clouded state where they can't see clear. They really can't see their way out of that. And you standing on the outside, you can see the way out. And when you try to tell them that, they're like, no, that's not the way. And here's what I would present to you, and that is, don't trust yourself when you've been offended. Don't trust yourself when you're hurt. Don't trust yourself, because you're actually in a place where the enemy comes in and it's clouded and things aren't always as they appear to be. And what I would tell people was, the worst person you could take advice from when you're hurt is yourself. So don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your emotions. Understand you're in a wounded place, and that's where the devil comes in to try to distort and confuse. A fifth thing that happens then is this step of hostility. Hostility. It's this final step of, it's this hostile place where you get to where, after you've been offended, now you become hostile to the other person. You know, we're approaching the holiday season, and as we do so, you hear these things. People can't, they don't want to go see family because they hate that other family member. They're on outs with other family member, or then they got to go to this person's house and that person's house, and when they all get together, there's family drama and all these things. There's this thing of hostility, and sometimes in these situations, the offense is such that it's silly, but yet it's escalated to this point where the relationship is gone. And here's what I would present to you, and that is this. Hostility is not really a condition between you and the other person. Hostility is really a condition of your soul. It really is. It's a condition of your soul. Because even when you're not around that other person, you have no peace. And you have no joy. So what do we do about it? Here's what I want to share with you, and that is that this list that I just presented, it's not something where you said, oh, wow, I never knew that before. No, you knew all those things. But I gave you that list to point this out. And that is, this list is the same condition that you and I were in when we were away from God before we came to Christ. It's the same condition that we were in. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me, verse 12. Look at what it says here. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. And here's what he's saying. Remember. And whenever you hear remember in Scripture, it's saying you may have forgotten this. You may have forgotten it. And you need to remember. Hey, remember this. This is important. You've got to remember this. Remember that at the time you were separate from God, you were without hope. And you were without God in the world. But look what happens. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now look at what it says there. It says that you were brought near. Here's how you were brought near. You were not brought near to Christ because you had this eureka moment saying, wow, I really think I just need to get back to church. Or I had I think I just need to give my life to Christ. You didn't come up with that on your own, because look at this, before you recognized him, he initiated a reconciliation process. Now get a hold of this. This is powerful. He initiated a reconciliation process, and he's not even the one who is the offending party. You and I are the offending party. And he gets ahead of you and I and initiates a process and says, hey, let's get it right. And he's not even the one that did anything wrong. Are you following this? Jesus didn't do anything wrong, and yet he's the one that is first initiating a reconciliation process. In fact, he not only initiated it, he took care of all of it on the cross. He took care of something that he didn't do, but what you and I did, he took care of it on the cross. In fact, he initiated it, and he didn't even say, hey, before I get nailed to this cross, he didn't lean forward and go, wait a minute, before I do this, have I got any takers? No, he went there first, not even knowing whether you would accept him or not. Are you following this? This is powerful. It says that, look, perhaps we've forgotten that, but we need to remember that something happens when we understand this. Look at this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near, how? By the blood of Christ. For look at this. For he himself is our peace. There's where the peace comes from. He is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. See, I believe what you're really asking for, you're not necessarily even asking, how can I get my marriage back together? Or how can I bring that relationship back together, or dad home? And no, what you're really asking is, how can I stop the pain and the hurt and stop the nightmares? But here's the deal. Get a hold of this. When you fully grasp the reality of what he's done inside of you, when you really grasp the reality of what he's done inside of you, you will experience peace. He says, I've come and done something inside of you. I've initiated this process, and I have been the one that has reconciled this thing. And through that, I not only do that, I destroy the barriers that you and I have created. He destroys those barriers and those dividing walls. He does that. So then that beckons the question, so what does he want in return? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where it really gets real. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Wait a minute. That's too simple. You don't understand what that person did to me. And you're just telling me, okay, so what do? Oh, I just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. How do you just get rid of it? How do you just get rid of the pain? How do you just get rid of that? Is it that easy? Just, okay, all right, sure. No, you ever feel like saying, God, it's not that easy. I'm trying, but you don't understand the pain. You don't understand the hurt. Just get rid of it. But there's a key here I want you to get today that I believe is going to make all the difference. He says, be kind. He goes on, not only to get rid of it, he even takes it a step further. Says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Now, here's what I need you to get. That is, you've got to add some faith into the mix of this forgiveness process. And you need to get these two words. Look at this. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Everybody say these next two words. Just as. Come on, say it. Just as. I believe the key to this whole thing is understanding these two words. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. If we can get a hold of this, I believe it's a game changer. And that is, if we could remember the just as God, there is something that happened inside of you when God forgave you in the forgiveness of your offenses. And in what he did in you, in that there is a power and a capacity to do it to others. Are you hearing me? But that's something I thought I could never do. And you can't. But there is a power in you, in the just as Christ forgave you, that enables you to have the capacity and the power to forgive others. When he did it in you, he not only did it, he brought with it the power to do it in others. There's power in the just as. He did it in you and gives you the power, I'm going to repeat it, to do it in others. I'm going to show you how. Because here's the deal. You can have peace regardless of what the other party is doing. Anybody believe that? You can have peace whether that person, you know, that person needs to come and apologize. We need to have a meeting. We need to get things straightened out. We need to, you know, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting. You know, we some of our come to meeting Jesus looks like this, you know. But can I tell you, you can have that meeting, you can have that conversation, but you can still walk away with bitterness and unforgiveness in your life, right? So the key is something more than that. Look at this. Here's where it is. I'm going to lead you on a three-step journey. I'm going to take you through some steps that are going to take faith to do it, all right? Two of these steps you're going to hate, all right? I'm just telling you. Two of them you're going to hate, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Don't filter it through your mind and say, no, you don't understand. I can't do that. I can't go there. Don't put up the wall, but allow the Word of God to be your filter today and be open to what God is speaking through His Word. Because if we'll do it, I believe things will change. Look at point number one. Point number one is this. Receive God's forgiveness. To which you would probably say, okay, what's point number two? I've already done that. But I want to park here for just a moment and ask the question, have you? Have you really accepted God's forgiveness? Because here's what I'm convinced. I think there's a lot of people that walk around in condemnation. A lot of it's self-condemnation. Of course, we know the enemy condemns us. He's the accuser. He comes, he brings up your past. And I'm convinced there's a lot of quote-unquote Christians that are supposed to be forgiven that walk around in unforgiveness because they have yet to fully understand what Jesus did on the cross. The full measure, the enormity of what he did when he died on the cross and took everything that we have ever done in our life upon himself and says, you're forgiven. So much so that one day in him, if we're in him and we accepted his forgiveness, we will stand before him whole and complete, spotless, without a blemish. Well, I'm not spotless without blemish. I got a lot of spots and I got a lot of blemishes, you might say. Yes, but in Christ, you're forgiven, and God sees you through the finished, completed work of Jesus on the cross. That's something to get excited about, everybody. Come on, right? Here's a statement. You'll never have to forgive anyone more than God has already forgiven you. You'll never have to forgive anybody more than what God has already forgiven you. And if we can understand that, we'll say, I'm not a criminal. I haven't murdered anybody. Guess what? You don't know what you would do without Christ. And except for the grace of God, there go I. I'm going to tell you, God's forgiving, amazing power of forgiveness and his amazing grace, it's beyond what we could even fathom what he did for us on the cross. If we could grab hold of that, and look at with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, Paul was a guy who actually went around persecuting, not only persecuting Christians, he was in charge of the execution of Christians, overseeing the stoning of Christians. And it was this guy that God reached down and said, I'm going to choose him. And here's what he says. He says, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. God gave me mercy and grace. Look, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And here's what I love about this, and that is that God always, you see it through Scripture, he chooses the most messed up people to do the most phenomenal things. He reaches down and takes people that have blown it, that have messed up, and he uses them as an example so that we can say, man, if you can use Pastor Theron, then you can use anybody, right? I mean, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but it gives me hope when I read what Paul said and understand that he has the ability to take us and the enormity of his grace and transform our life. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. They are red like crimson. I will make them white as wool. He says, come, receive this grace, and you can know the peace of God. And the next part of that scripture goes on to say, if you will only obey me. Now, here's the thing. You've got to be willing to accept that forgiveness, to accept him into your life. And then here's the next step, and this is where it gets a little bit difficult. But it's not difficult when we get to just as, and we truly, fully receive his forgiveness, because there's a power within us that enables us to do this. In our own self, we can't. Look at the second thing, and that is freely give what you have received. Freely give what you have received. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Let me share this scripture with you from 2 Corinthians. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. God came and he forgave us. He did this miraculous work of forgiveness in our life, and he changed us. And then look at the next part of this. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, look at this, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He reconciled us, but then he put something in us. He gave us an ability and a power within us. When we fully have received that, fully encountered that, he gives us a ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so what we have received, we have now the ability, and yes, I believe the responsibility. Because Christ even said, in demonstrating how to pray, he pulled out one thing out of that prayer. And he says, how God, we pray, God, forgive us of our trespasses. But then he says, if you don't forgive the trespasses that have been against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. There's a connection there. There's a connection there. And that means that this relationship, if this is right, I'm going to tell you, these relationships will heal. Now, I'm not saying those people are going to change. That may never change, but there will be a healing in your life towards them. Are you getting this? Have you ever seen a person, and I grew up in a church where, I mean, you know, you pray till you pray through. We need that around here. In fact, come on Saturday mornings. We have some prayer time here on Saturday mornings to pray. And at the end of the service, you can pray as long as you want to. Some of you maybe need to spend some extra time here today and just pray until you prayed through on some things. But then you need to get up and put some legs to your prayers. And that's what I've seen many times happen in church services, where somebody has prayed until they touch heaven and they receive God's grace. And when they did that, here's what happened. They would get up and they couldn't get to that person on the other side of the church that they couldn't speak to before. They couldn't get to them. Could not get to them fast enough to hug their neck, and that person never looked so good to them in all their life. Has anybody ever encountered that? I've encountered that myself. I've looked around and the grass looks greener and the sky looks bluer. And why is that? I remember when I first got married, I remember calling my mother saying, man, I've never seen things so in bloom. The roses are so beautiful this year, and the sky is so blue. And my mother laughed at me, and she said, son, they've always been that way. You're just in love. You know, that's the way it is when we experience God's forgiveness. When we experience God's forgiveness, and he comes in, we encounter his presence, we encounter his forgiveness, we encounter his love. Guess what? Look, it ain't about religion, it's about relationship. But we used to sing this song, give me that old-time religion, and we'd say, it makes us love everybody, makes us want to go to heaven. You don't remember that song, do you? You don't want me to sing it. I know you don't. But anyway, love everybody, right? It's about God's love. And here's the final step I want you to get, and that is go first. Go first. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What am I asking you to do? Not wait till that person earns it or does the right thing, apologizes or straightens up and flies right. No. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you. Go first. Go first. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. That blessed isn't just a
happy, happy, happy. It is an internal joy and an internal peace when you're able to become a peacemaker. Look at James chapter 3. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And I'm not saying that relationship, I'm not guaranteeing that relationship can come back together. I'm not saying that. But what I am presenting to you is that when you do this thing of going first and you release that person and you allow God's forgiveness that has come to you be extended, and you say, well, God forgave me of, what did he forgive me of? And who am I? Who am I not to forgive others? In fact, the one that really doesn't really receive that forgiveness of God tends to be the one that judges and is hard on the other people. But when you really encounter the forgiveness of God's grace and his love, you don't point fingers at people. You reach down to help them just as God reached down to help you. You extend love. You extend grace. You take the high road. You take mercy. You take grace. Extend that around, right? Amen? I'm going to give you this statement. You can write that there in your notes. There's a space for it. And honestly, every message that I give could be concluded this way. It could all be brought to this statement at the end. And that's this statement. Choices lead. Feelings follow. Choices lead. Feelings follow. You say, no, I need to feel this thing. I need to make sure I can do this. No. I'm saying it takes faith. And faith is that thing that says, I don't feel it, I don't get it, but I'm going to take this step anyway. I'm going to go first, I'm going to forgive them, I'm going to let them go. And here's what happens. When you do that, I'm going to tell you, that's when God's peace comes in. When you do it his way works, and he heals you and restores. Amen, everybody? Come on, everybody. Let's thank God for his word today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And I just want to give an opportunity today for those that maybe you don't know that you've fully received God's forgiveness. Jesus never came to condemn. He came to bring conviction, and that means that you'll understand, hey, I need you, God. There's some things in my life that aren't right, but he never came to condemn. The Bible puts it this way, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes on to say, he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He never came to condemn you. That's the enemy's job. But Jesus comes to give you life and life to the fullest. Perhaps you're in a place, and I know, if I were in your place and I had the offenses that you've had in your life. In fact, if you shared them with me, I might say, yeah, I hate him too. I'm with you. What a low down, no good. But look, here's the thing. God gives the ability for us to get beyond that and bring healing and have peace in our life. But you got to do it his way. You got to do it his way. And it all begins by accepting his forgiveness and surrendering to him. So I want to give an opportunity. If you're here today and you just know that you just need to make sure, maybe you just need to make sure that I've experienced his forgiveness in my life, I want to pray a simple prayer of surrender. If that's you, I want to allow you to pray that with me. In fact, before I pray, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I just want you to slip up a hand. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. You know that you need forgiveness in your life. As I pray this prayer, I'm going to agree with you. You just slip up a hand and put it right back down. Anyone here today, just slip up a hand very quickly and say, that's me. Yes, God bless you. I'm proud of you. Yes, God bless you today. Anyone else? Anyone else? Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, today I release everything to you. Today I thank you for forgiving me, for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe that everything I've ever done, you took upon yourself and you paid for it.
I thank you for forgiving me now and cleansing me. God, today I give you my heart. I thank you for healing it. As you have forgiven me, now enable me to forgive those that have hurt me. And Lord, help me to forgive myself. Today I step by faith into your forgiveness. Today I walk in your forgiveness. Now by faith, I give you my life. Make all things new. Let me walk in the freedom that comes from knowing you. May I experience your peace. May I experience your joy and your strength. And all my days I will follow you as you enable me. In Jesus' name. God, thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer. Thank you for healing the hearts. God, we lay everything down at the foot of the cross. And we thank you for your healing power. Now let us walk as you would have us to walk. Help us to walk above the offenses and forgive as you forgave. Thank you for the power to do so. Thank you for healing throughout this body in every sense of the word. I thank you for healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God. Amen. Amen.